Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the mark the Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the first of the wider lines on the Daf, 14 lines from the bottom. As the Gemara line juts out under the Tosfos, we see the quote from the Mishnah, Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shiyesh Boi Musaf V'chulei. Before we begin the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have our nosei, our topic heading. Kama oilim l'toira yesh betainas tzibur. How many people are called to the Torah on a public fast day? Three, gimel, odalit, three or four? The Gemara. Ibayalaho, tainas tzibur bekama. How many people are to be called to the Torah on a public fast day? And a public fast day, when the Gemara speaks about that, generally speaking, like you see in Maseches Tainus, those are fast days that are declared because of a drought, lack of rain, and through fasting and prayer, so we would supplicate the Almighty in order for Him to show us loving kindness. As part of those fast days, there would also be Torah reading. So, of course, we have, in addition to that, we have other kinds of public fast days, those days that commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, where, as we are quite familiar with till this very day, there is a Torah portion that is read. Well, the question is, how many aliyos are there? Rosh Chodesh Umoyed Di'ika Korban Musuf Arba'o Aval Hocha Deleka Korban Musuf Lo. Do we say, on the one hand, that when it comes to the days like Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, which in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there would be an additional korban offered, an additional sacrifice. It's called the Korban Musaf, in addition to the daily public sacrifices, the morning Tomid and the afternoon Tomid, there was a Korban Musaf. So that warrants an extra Torah Aliyah. But Hocha, the Tainat Sibur, is not a day that a Korban Musaf was brought, so it doesn't warrant an extra aliyah to the Torah. Oy Dilma, Hochanami Iko Musaf Tfila. On the other hand, on the Tainat Sibur, we add a passage to the Shmona Esrei. We call that the Anenu passage. And that itself represents a type of addition. So by virtue of the fact that there is an addition, an extra bracha in the Shmona Esrei, so that might warrant, in honor of that, that represents the need for adding an additional aliyah to the Torah. So the question has been raised, Tainat Sibur, three aliyahs or four aliyahs? Toshma. Now we have a new marking. You see on the side under our Mivneh heading, this triangle form will appear in two directions. With the point facing up, it's an attempt to show three aliyos. If you see the triangle inverted, it's an attempt to show four aliyos. This marking, you should just take note, will continue onto Omid Beis as well. So the Gemara says, Toshma. Let's try to bring proof from the following. In fact, it'll be an inference from the following quote. Toshma b'roshei chodoshim v'chol shemoy kurin arba. We saw this in the Mishnah, that on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed, there would be four aliyos. Ha b'tainas sibor gimel. We could infer from that if it were a public fast day, the Mishnah doesn't mention that in the context of four, so it must be three aliyos. Well, emo resha. B'sheni u'v'chamishi u'b'shabbos b'mincha kurin gimel. On Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos afternoon, where there's a Torah reading, Korin Gimel, three are called. Now, we could infer from that, Ha Tainas Sibur Arba, but a public fast day, which is not listed under the group of occasions where there are three, so it must be four. Well, so as you look at the Mishnah and you try to infer from the latter part or from the earlier part, you find you come out with a contradiction. From the Mishnah is not taught for the purpose of drawing inferences. Rather, what you see is what is, and what's not stated is of no concern to the Mishnah. Toshma. So here we have an initial attempt. You see the inverted triangle, it represents an initial attempt to show four aliyos. So what's the story? Derav iklo lebavel b'tainat sibor. Take note, by the way, the fact that we have an arrow here indicating to go to Omid Beis. That's because when we get to Omid Beis, we're going to be coming back to this story. So Rav went to Bavel on a public fast day. Kom koro b'sifra. He got up to read in the Sefer Torah. Posach borech, chosim velo borech. He made an opening bracha, but he didn't make a closing bracha. This, by the way, is a topic that we discussed at length in our previous shiur. Furthermore, nofal kuli alma an payu, v'rav lo nofal al apei. The congregation fell on their faces in prayer, and Rav did not do so. Michti, Rav be Yisrael Kora. Rav was not a Kohen, he was not a Levi. He was a Yisrael, so he would have received an aliyah to the Torah in we'll call it the third position at something like that, we'll say. In other words, a later position. He received an aliyah as a Yisrael. My taima chosam v'lo borech. Why is it that when he finished his aliyah to the Torah, did he not make a closing bracha? Lav mishum deboi lemikri achrino basrei. Is it not because there would be someone else called after him? In other words, a fourth aliyah. So we, at this point, then would show that from the story with Rav, there were four aliyos on the Tainus Tzibor. The Gemara rejects this. Loi. And here we have a new structure, and take note of this on the side under the Mivneh. This house form is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth, give and take type discussion. With this house shape, point facing upwards, it's an attempt to show that Rav actually received the Kohen Aliyah. The inverted house shape would indicate to the contrary. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Lohi, it is not so that Rav got the third position and his lack of closing bracha indicates that there is a fourth aliyah. Rav bekahani kora. Rav received the first aliyah to the Torah, and therefore he didn't have a closing bracha. Deha Rav Huna kori bekahani. We have precedent for Rav Huna receiving the Kohen aliyah. As we'll see very shortly, this has to do with, even though we're dealing with someone who's a non-Kohen, if he happens to be the greatest of his generation, if he's the Godol Hador, he can receive the Kohen Aliyah. So the Gemara says that this is not convincing, and hence we have this inverted house marking. Bishlam or Rav Huna, granted by Rav Huna, Kori Bukani, he would get a Kohen Aliyah, even though he was not a Kohen. To Afidu Rav Ami Rav Asi, Bukani, Chashivi Da'ara Yisrael, make of Kaifi Lulei the Rav Huna. Even the great Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who themselves were Kohanim, they were make of Kaifu, they were subordinate to Rav Huna, indicating that Rav Huna was the number one, the leading scholar of his time. So Rav Huna, being that he had that he occupied that lofty position, or enjoyed that lofty status of being the head and shoulders above everybody else, he could receive the Kohen Aliyah, the prominent first Aliyah. Ela Rav. But when it comes to Rav, he was a great man, but ha iko Shmuel, dekana havi v'dabor olei. There was, in the time of Rav, there was Shmuel. Shmuel was a great scholar. He himself, Shmuel, was a Kohen. And in fact, dabor olei means that Rav would, in fact, lead Shmuel in front of him. Rav would bestow honor to Shmuel. So the suggestion that Rav received the Kohen Aliyah is untenable. So the Gemara, notice the house shape is flipped over now with the point facing up. Shmuel Nami Mekev Havakayefle L'Rav. In fact, Shmuel himself would subordinate himself to Rav. Now, you'll ask, but we know that Rav bestowed honor to Shmuel. The Rav who the Ovad lay kavoid. And that which Rav had bestowed honor to Shmuel, letting him go in front of him, that was a result of an incident that's reported in Maseches Shabbos. We won't get into the incident. Let's just say there was a basis for that behavior on the part of Rav. If you will, without getting into the actual story, Rav was trying to make up for a wrong that he felt that he did to Shmuel. So, in attempt to making up to Shmuel, Rav would show him honor. V'chi ovidlei, and when would Rav do this? Befonov, that was when he was in the presence of Shmuel. It behooved Rav to bestow honor to Shmuel when he was with him. However, shelo befonov lo ovidlei, but not in front of him, he wouldn't do so. So that Rav, in the story when he went to Bovel, it would make sense then that Rav would have received the Kohen Aliyah. Hochi Nami Mistabra de Rav Bekani Kora. It's also very likely that Rav in that story was one who had received the Kohen, the first Aliyah. The Isal Gadaitich B'Yisrael Kora, if you were to think that he received, let's say, the third Aliyah, like the Gemara thought it was going to say, well, Lifoneho my time of Baruch, then why in the story did Rav make an opening bracha? And it says so. It said in that story, it said Posach Baruch. Why was there Posach Baruch, as the Gemara said? So the Gemara continues and says he may very well have received the third Aliyah. And if you'll ask, why did he have an opening bracha? Li'achar takona. This was after the rabbinic institution that was made, that we learned at a great length in our previous shiur. It was the takona made for people who, let us say, would have come in late to shul, that missed the opening Aliyah, so as not to allow people to think that you can read from the Torah without making a bracha. Even the subsequent oilim would have an opening bracha. So that Rav's story was after that takana. And if it's not clear, if that which we're saying now is not clear, it's of course quite recommended to listen to our previous shiur on this topic. Well, the Gemara says, "E hachi, if that is so, that Rav really did receive the number three Aliyah, the Yisrael Aliyah, and the reason he had an opening bracha is because it was after the Takana, Yochi l'achreel nami livrich, then afterwards he should have had a closing bracha, which was also part of the Takana, to have a closing bracha, so that people who might leave early from shul before seeing the real final Oyla L'Torah, making his original closing bracha, the original meaning from the original laws of Kriyas HaTorah, the last person always made the closing bracha. But if Rav was after the Takona, then we know every Oyla made an opening and closing bracha. So why is it that Rav, who would have, according to this approach, received the third Aliyah, why didn't he have a closing bracha? Because you said it was after the Takona. The Gemara says that really Rav is after the Takona, but Shaini Hechod de Yosef Rav, the case where Rav was present, there you didn't need to institute that Takona. The Me'al Aili, people would come in late, however, Meipak Lo Nafki, people would not leave early. So since people would not leave early in honor of Rav, who was present there, everyone would hear the real final Aliyah LaTorah, making his closing bracha. Therefore, it wasn't necessary for Rav to, in the third position, to have made a closing bracha, being that there was a fourth Aliyah. So, at this point in the Gemara, we had this quite a vigorous back and forth discussion, and we would have there is room to say that in fact there were four Aliyahs on the Tainus Sibur, as we saw from the Rav story. However, as we said, this point could be argued back and forth. So the Gemara attempts again Toshma, and here with the triangle facing up, we know that we're going to try to show that Tainus Sibur really has three Aliyahs. We have a Tanaik Sur Zehaklau Kol Shiesh Boi Bitul Melocha La'am. Any type of day where if you stay later in shul by adding anything to the prayers, you might be causing people to lose out on going to work. These are days that, technically speaking, one is allowed to work. They're mutar b'malocha. Kurin gimel. We read only three, the minimum number of aliyahs l'Torah, only three. We don't want to keep people there longer in shul. V'she'ein boi bitol melacha la'am, kagon roshei chadoshim v'cholol shemoyed, days where there is a certain level of work restriction anyway, so that by keeping them later in shul, there isn't bitol melacha. And we're saying under that category is Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed. Rosh Chodesh is a little bit of a curiosity. What do you mean there is no bitul melacha, giving us the impression that people don't work on Rosh Chodesh? Rashi makes an allusion to a practice that women did not work on Chol Hamoed. Well, that's still interesting, because here we're dealing with davening in shul, and you usually don't associate women as being a factor in these considerations. Nevertheless, the concept of bitul melacha regarding Rosh Hashanah, that it's not a day of bitul melacha, has some relevance. The topic, again, we just hinted to it. There's much more to discuss on that issue, though. So days where, by staying later in shul, it doesn't result in loss of work. Days like, we say here, Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed. Chol Hamoed, it should be clear, is a day where there are many restrictions as to what you can actually do. So, Korin Dalet, we can have an extra Aliyah and have four people read from the Torah. So what do we see from here? Here it's a very rough, seemingly clear source. Notice the markings. We dashed, underlined Tainus Sibur and Korin Gimel. So this would answer the question, Shema Mina. This would appear to be conclusive that on a Tainus Sibur there are only three people called to the Torah. But as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to continue with this discussion. We have a volcano shape, a trapezoid, if you prefer. And on the side of Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, we call this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. The narrow part facing up are Kushyos al Hamaskona. We're going to be asking on this conclusion. The Tainus Sibur Yesh Bo Gimel Koren. The conclusion having been that a Tainus Sibur, a public fast day, has only three Aliyahs. And with the inverted shape as it appears, those are Tguvos or Tshuvos. Those are responses or answers to questions raised. Omar Rav Ashi, ha veha anan lo tanan hochi. You concluded from this brisa that there are only three aliyos for a Tainus Sibur, but our Mishnah on Daf Chof Aleph Omer Aleph doesn't seem to agree with that. It says in the Mishnah, Zeha klal kol shiesh boi, kol yoim shiesh boi musaf v'eino yontov kurin arba'o. Any day that has something added, musaf, something added. And we're taking this, we speak about something added, it's not only a korban musaf, but something is added, something in the prayers might be added. And it's not a yom tov. Korin arba, four would be called to the Torah. Lasuemai, what does this come to include? Lav Lasuye Tainet Sibor Vitishabov. Does this not include these kind of days? Tainet Sibor and Tishabov. Tainet Sibor, we said, has a passage added to the prayers, the passage of Anenu, that's called Musaf. That would be the equivalent of Musaf for our purposes. So according to our Mishnah, the Zeha Klal expression comes to include Tainet Sibor as being a day of four Kurin. When we say the Mishnah is coming to include, the Mishnah mentioned already that Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed has four aliyos. The expression Zeh HaKlal at the end of the Mishnah comes to include, to add to that, namely Tainet Sibor and Tisha B'Av having four aliyos. That's Rav Ashi's question. The Gemara, though, reverses. U'l'Rav Ashi masnisin money. You are claiming that the Mishnah says that on a Tainet Sibor there are four aliyos. Well, who's going to be the author of the Mishnah? Lo Tanakama, v'lo Reb Yossi. Desanya, we're going to bring a Brisa now that has a Tanaic opinions on the matter of Tainet Sibor, and we don't see what you are claiming. You're claiming that a Tainet Sibor should have four aliyos, but it doesn't conform to either of these opinions. Desanya chal liyos b'sheni v'chamishi Koren Gimel Umafter Echodif Tishabov comes out on a Monday or Thursday. There are three people called to the Torah, and one of those three reads from the Haftorah, the Maftir. That's Maftir, is the one who reads from the Haftorah. Bishlishu Bavi, if Tishabov comes out on a Tuesday or Wednesday, Koren Echod Umafter Echod, one Aliyah, and he also reads from the Haftorah. V'yosyomer Le'olam Koren Gimel Umafter Echod. We always, even on a Tuesday or Wednesday, there would be three Aliyahs, and of them, one would read from the Haftorah. So, according to the way Rav Ashi is reading the Mishnah, where you see the diamond above Lasuye Tainet Sibor V'tishbav for four, that's not the Tanakama. It's not Reb Yossi. The Gemara asks, well, the Elah Kashya Zeha Klal. Well, if you're going to go like the Baraisa, that Tisha B'Av is only three aliyahs, it's not four, then what about the Mishnah with the Zeha Klal coming to include Tisha B'Av and Tainet Sibor for, yes, four aliyos? So what we're doing is we're, on the one hand, we're asking on Rav Ashi's point from this Brisa, which indicates three aliyos, but on the other hand, you have Rav Ashi's point and the Mishnah, which had the opening expression Zeh HaKlal, which indicates four aliyos. So the Gemara says, Loi, contrary to Rav Ashi, and that's how the markings can be very helpful over here, this inverted volcano shape, in contrast to the Rav Ashi volcano shape facing upwards. Here you see, lo, the Mishnah, and what it comes to include is Lasuye Rosh Chodesh Umoed. It's true that the Mishnah comes to include something else as having four aliyahs. It comes to include Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. There are four aliyahs, but not a Tainet Sibor, not Tisha B'Av. Question, how can you say that, how can you accept that? The Hal Behegyo Kotoni Law, you don't need the expression of Zeh HaKlal that appears at the end of the Mishnah to include something that was stated explicitly already in the Mishnah. It said, Beroshe Chadoshim Umoye Koren Arbo. So the Mishnah already said explicitly about Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed as having four aliyahs. What do I need the Zeh HaKlal expression for to repeat that? Then you have a redundancy. The Gemara says, in fact, the Zeh HaKlal does talk about the Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. Simona Be'alma Yohiv. This is a long answer. But with this long answer in mind, what Rav Ashi was trying to object to the source taught at the top, it falls away. And again, use your markings. Rav Ashi had raised a question that was represented by the volcano narrow part facing up. And here at the end of the discussion, we have an inverted volcano rejecting Rav Ashi's objection. So now, the issue that we have to just clarify is, if the Mishnah, which speaks about Zeh HaKlal coming to add other examples of four aliyos, and it's not referring to Tisha B'Av and Taimis Sibur, and rather it's referring to Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, but they were already mentioned in the Mishnah, so we say Simono B'Alma Yohiv. It's important for the Mishnah to give us a principle which serves as a way to remember things. Why is it necessary to emphasize through a simon that Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed have four aliyos, even though it said so explicitly, so that you don't make a mistake? The lo tema, you shouldn't say Yom Tov v'Chol Hamoed ki hadodi ninhu, that Yom Tov and Chol Hamoed are one in the same. After all, Chol Hamoed is a part of Yom Tov. Pesach opens with Yom Tov, and it has intermediate days. So you might think that they're one and the same. Ella nekod hai klola biyodach. Therefore, the Mishnah has to hammer home the point. Accept the following principle. Kol detofi le milsa mechavrei, tofi le gavri yasera. Any day that has an extra element to it, so that warrants adding an extra ole, an extra person, another person, an additional person, to be called to the Torah. Hilkach. Barosh Chodesh Umoi, the Iko Korban Musaf, Korin Arba'o. This is what the Mishnah was trying to say at the end. When the Mishnah said, Zahaklal Kol Yoyim Shiyesh Boi Musaf, the Eino Yomtav Korin Arba'o, that's Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed. They have a Korban Musaf, but they're not a real Yom Tov. So there are four aliyas. B'Yom Tov, the Osur Basias Malacha. Yom Tov has an additional aspect to it in that it has a Malacha restriction. Chamisha, so five people are called to the Torah. Notice we're adding one. And B'Yom Kippur, the Onush Kores. Yom Kippur has an additional element to it above and beyond Yom Tov, where one who violates Yom Kippur, he is guilty of a kores penalty. Shisha, therefore there are six that are called to the Torah, an additional person. And Shabbos, Diko Isur Skilo, Shabbos has a feature above and beyond Yom Kippur, in that one who violates Shabbos is subject to stoning, namely that's a court-imposed death penalty, which is something beyond Kores. Shiva, seven people are called to the Torah. Now, as we mentioned in our shiur earlier, we're going back to the story involving Rav. Hence, we have an arrow indicating, look at Omid Aleph. Gufa, Rav iklola Bovel betainas Sibor. Rav visited Bovel on a public fast day. Kom kora besifra posach boruch. Chosam velo boruch. He received an aliyah to the Torah. He made an opening bracha. He did not make a closing bracha. Nofel kule almo a payu, v'rav lo nofel al anpe. And this is what we want to focus on here, that in the course of the prayers, everyone fell on their faces, and Rav did not do so. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Rav higiyo lebovel betainas sibur v'lo osa nefilas apayim mai taima. Why did he not fall on his face? By the way, we have today, even today in our practice of prayers, we have something that's reminiscent of this. We call it Nefila Sapayim. That's the same expression that the Gemara uses. After the Shemona Esrei, it is traditional to, when you're davening in a shul where there's a Sefer Torah, we bend over and offer a prayer of supplication at the conclusion of the Shemona Esrei. That's Nefila Sapayim. I'm saying that just as a frame of reference, not that this is exactly that, but it's, as I say, it's a frame of reference. But it's certainly on his Tainas Sibur, as a part of the prayers, there was this practice of Nofal al Ape. Rav did not do so. My Taimo Rav lo Nofal al Ape. Why is it that Rav didn't do so? So the Gemara answers, Ritzpo shel avonim hoisa. You're dealing in a shul, in a synagogue that had a stone floor. There's a pasuk in Vayikra that says, "Evan maskis, a stone floor. You should not have a stone floor in your land to bow upon it." On a stone floor in your general locations, you are not allowed to bow, but on the stone floor of the Beis HaMikdash, you are allowed to bow. Kitu Ula, as Ula teaches, the Omar Ula, Lo Osro Torah Elo Ritzbo Shel Avonim Bilvad. This pasuk that said, "Evin maskis lo sitni ba'artzachem l'shtachavos aleho," the Torah in this pasuk is answering only on a stone floor, which means that in a shul where you will be bowing, so don't have stone floors that which is what you did have in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, Ihochi, my iria Rav, why then is Rav the one spoken of, afilu kulunami, then everyone else also shouldn't have done so. Now, as far as the markings are concerned, on the side we have, under the Mivne heading, Roman numerals 1 through 3. These represent Gimel Tirutzim, three responses, Loma Rav lo nofala apeu shara tzibur noflu. Why is it that Rav didn't and everyone else did? So the Gemara answers, number 1, Kamei de Rav Havoi. The stone floor was where Rav was standing. On the rest of the shul, there wasn't a stone floor. Whatever other material there was, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, but it was not stone. Hence, there is no bowing restriction. Question. The Rav, the Lazel, Legabi Tzibur, Levinpul, Al Ape. So why didn't Rav just move a few paces over to where the rest of the tzibur was, the rest of the congregation was, and let him bow on his face like everyone else? The more answers, lo boy le mitrach tzibura. If he would have moved over to where they were, then that would have troubled them. In other words, they would have to stand up for him, and he didn't want to trouble them. The Iboyasema, another approach, why Rav did not do Fil Sapayim and everyone else did. Rav Pishut Yodayim V'Raglayim HaVe'Ovid. Rav's form of Nefilas HaPayim, of falling on his face, was total prostration, spreading out of hands and legs on the floor. Ukidu Ula, and in accordance with another teaching of Ula, Diyama Ula, Lo Osra Torah, when the Torah, when it forbids the stone floor, Elo Pishut Yodayim V'Raglayim Bilvad. The only thing that's also when it comes to a stone floor is total prostration. And therefore, that was Rav's style in this form of prayer, was total prostration. And that's why he didn't do it. Question, V'lepo al ape v'lo levit pishut da'im v'raglayim. Let him fall on his face, bow on his face, without total prostration. That wouldn't have been prohibited. The Gemara says, lo mishani mimin hoge. Rav doesn't want to change from his regular practice. Now, as far as the rest of the people are concerned, you can see from here that they did not do total prostration. So, therefore, they wouldn't have been under any restriction. The Iboyasema, another approach to why Rav did not do Nefilas HaPayim and everyone else did, Adam Choshev Shaini. When it comes to a leading personality, an important person, a very important rabbi, so there the standard, there it's different. Kidder Rebbe Lozer. Based on Rebbe Lozer's teaching, Domer Rebbe Lozer, Ein Odom Choshuv Rashoi Lipol Al Ponov, a leading personality, a leading rabbinic figure, is not allowed to do Nefilas HaPayim, Elohim Kein Nenek Yeshua Ben Nun, unless he knows that his prayer will be answered, like was the case with Yeshua Ben Nun at the time of the conquest of Israel, this Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem El Yeshua, Kumloch V'chulei. There we see that Yeshua practiced Nefilas HaPayim, and his prayer was answered. But if you're not sure that you're on the level, that your prayers will be answered, so then you should not, if you're a great man, you should not do nefilas apayim. If I'm not mistaken, the svara being that it will cause if a great man would do it and his prayers wouldn't be answered, it'll start to cast doubt about the person's greatness. And so, to avoid that situation, a great man shouldn't do nefilas apayim. There's a Tosfos. The second Tosfos from the end says something of note. Ein adam choshev rashei lipol al ponav. Yerushalmi meforish. In the Yerushalmi Talmud, it explains hechoshem espalo b'shvil tzibur. That's where he's praying on behalf of the public. Avo beino levein atzmo. But in private, shapir domi. In beino levein atzmo, as an expression generally means in private, then it would be okay, and you would, and that would fit in with the svara that we suggested, that it wouldn't, since he's by himself, it wouldn't cause any doubt or aspersions cast upon him if he would do so, even if his prayer would not be answered. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and on the side, under our topic heading, Gimel Tzuros Shel Hiskoifefus, three different forms of bowing, and they're called Kida, Kriya, and Hishtachavah. Kida, Alapayim. Kida is a form of bowing where you would bend over, face would be facing the floor. Shenemar, Vatikoid Bas Sheva Apayim Oretz. So in this post you see Vatiko, that's Kida, and it says Apayim Oretz, that the face is facing the ground. Kriya is another form of bending, that's Al Birkaim, on one's knees, getting down on one's knees. Vechenu Omer, the Pasuk says, Mikroa, like the word Kriya, Mikroa Al Birkov, from the state of bowing, of bending on one's knees. That's, as we say, getting down on one's knees. Now, Hishtachava, what does that imply? Zu Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. That's what we saw before, that Rav's practice was total prostration. Shenemar V'Havoy Novo Ani V'Imcho V'Achecho L'Hishtachavois L'Cho Ortza. Ortza means on the ground, completely laid out on the ground. And a little story, Levi Achvi Kida Kame de Rebbe V'Itla. Levi demonstrated Kida, and he ended up becoming lame. Now here, Rashi adds, Achvi Kida, no, what he did, I'm not sure that this Kida is necessarily the same thing that the Brisa was referring to, but maybe yes. But we're going to work with Rashi's explanation. Noetz Godlov, he would wedge his thumbs on the ground, v'nishan aleihem, and put his weight on his thumbs, v'shoche, and bend down, ad shenoshek es haritzpo, and bend down so much so that he would end up kissing the floor, v'zokef, and then reposture himself, u'mitoch shenu yochol ishoin al Godlov, V'ein yod of Messiahs oisoi b'zikifoso v'tzorch l'isameitz b'mosnov v'mitoch kach nitz la b'buka di atmo. We see that he had wedged his thumbs on the floor and put his weight on them. That would seem to me that he was demonstrating what would be the equivalent of what we call a push-up, where he got down on the ground and he's doing the push-up. Instead of with the palms of his hands, he's putting his weight on his thumbs. He's supporting himself on his thumbs, and in order to reposition, to stand up, he would have to put a lot of pressure, strain on his midsection. That's the musnov. And in doing so, something ripped, something got out of place. The buka di atmo is a reference to the bone of the top of the thigh that fits into the pelvis. And I'm sorry that my fluency in Gray's Anatomy is severely lacking, so I don't know the Latin terms for that. But it's a type of ball joint bone setup where that's called the buka di atmo. You can see this more extensively in Maseches Chulin in the third parak, and it became dislodged in his strain in attempt to reposture himself, and Levi ended up becoming lame. The Gemara asks, "V'ha'ak or garmalei? Is that what caused Levi to become lame?" But we have another source on this issue. V'ha'amar Rebbe Elazar, li'oilam ayatich adam dvarim klapei mala. Rebbe Elazar says that a person should always avoid harsh speech when addressing the Almighty. Klapei mala means heavenwards. Shari adam gadol hitich dvarim klapei mala was a great man that once spoke harshly. It's one thing to pray to the Almighty. It's another thing in how you pray to the Almighty. So he tiached from klapimali, spoke harshly to the Almighty, and v'itla, and he ended up becoming lame. Umanu Levi, and who was that great man? It was Levi. Rashi alludes to the story from Maseches Tainis where there was no rainfall, and he said to the Almighty, you have ascended heavenwards, and you don't care about your children. Well, that's too harsh. And Rebbe Elazar says he became lame. So how are you telling me that his demonstration of kedah resulted in his lameness when this spiritual behavior is the result? So the Gemara answers, ha v'ha gar malei. Here you have a fusion between the two, the physical and the spiritual, and it is that as a result of his spiritual misbehavior, that caused his demonstration of kedah to result in this displaced thigh bone. In other words, if he wasn't guilty of the spiritual misbehavior, so he would have successfully demonstrated the physical kedah that we described before. There's a very deep message in this very short Gemara of Ha V'ha Gar Malei, and that deep message is also reflected in another agoda that you find in the Gemara, where Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa was walking by the pit of a venomous creature, and the venomous creature bit the heel of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, and the venomous creature died. It was called an orud, and the population was amazed. Generally speaking, a venomous creature bites a person dies. Here, the venomous creature bites Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, and it dies. So Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa says, Lo ha'orud memis elo ha'chet memis. He says, it's not that the venom kills a person, it's the sin that kills a person. That fits in very well to the scheme of things here, that if a person is guilty of spiritual violations, then the world of physicality can have its injurious detrimental effect. However, if not for the spiritual problem, then the world of physicality would not necessarily rule over the person. In fact, when we pray, we speak about a person's refuah shlema, and we say in the prayer, refuah hanefesh u refuah haguf. Let there be a healing of the spirit and a healing of the body. In other words, it's the sickly spirit that causes the body to be sickly. Without the sickly spirit, then who is to say that the body would become infirmed? This is, of course, a very traditional Jewish point of view on things, where the realm of spirituality is part and parcel of the realm of physicality. They are inextricably related. Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Ovin, Chazino lehu la'avaye v'rova. Rav Chiya reports that he saw Abaye and Rava de matzli atzluye. Rashi says at the top, al tzidehem, they would bend over in prayer on their sides. The loy neuflin al pneim mamish, and they wouldn't actually do the full facial falling forward. The fisha'ein odom choshev rashoi lipol al ponov, because of this factor that we mentioned before, that great people and maybe like we saw in the Tosfos when davening in public, and apparently they were being witnessed by this Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya bar Ovin, so they avoided the true Nefilas HaPayim based on the idea of Ein Olam Choshev Rashi Lipol Al Ponev, and certainly Abaye and Rava were very great people. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.